this morning's scripture. Thank you, Satan. Thank you very much. All right. All right. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Normally, I'm usually out here a little bit earlier, but I think I got a nice little punchline that's going to help out as far as why I was even myself delayed this morning, because I love celebrating with the people of God, but I think I got a good reason that I'm going to tell you in a moment. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7 says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat,' God said. 'You must not eat it or even touch it. Or if you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman." Now look at this. Verse 5 says, "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and the thing that he was trying to keep you from." I love that verse right there, because sometimes people believe that evil just popped up on the scene. No, it pre-existed. It's just that God had an insulated factor. We had some insulation from the original male and female that he put on the planet. Verse 6 says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too." Here's the verse right here, verse 7. "At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." Amen. The title of this morning's message is "That Moment When." That moment when. Amen. I had one of those moments this morning. We were trying to get organized and get some things together. First, I had a couple of people that sent me messages early this morning. They had to go to a birthday party, so they couldn't be here. Don't send me any messages like that early in the morning, all right? You don't know who I'm talking about, so just say, "All right, Pastor, amen, 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 amen." So that was a moment when I had to just keep a chill, move on. Then the next moment was when, you see this right here? I have it up here like something's on it, but you see how it's black and blank? My battery went dead. It's been dead for like the last 3 hours. So I was not able to come out normally and worship the people of God because I was struggling with the printer back there that happened to not have any paper at the moment. So I had to find some paper, and I was able to print out the message at that moment and time. You see, sometimes when you have different types of moments, or better yet, the phrase, if you will, "that moment when," is a modern day technique in writing or storytelling that points to a key event in an individual's life. That phrase, which undergirds this morning's message, became popularized on the internet and more so through the avenue of social media. For example, have you ever heard or seen a video or a meme that started off with those words, "that moment when"? Have you ever heard of that? Well, if you don't get it, let's go ahead and look at the screen with our very first example, and I'll read it out to you. The very first example is a particular graphic, if you will, that kind of illustrates the point. Do you have it? Okay, all right. I'll try to cue it up. So you see this part, it says, "That moment when the music you listened to in high school is being played on the oldies station." Oh, Lord, I don't know. I remember one time when my wife and I were going to Jacksonville, and we were just hearing, you know, different types of groups, New Edition and things like, even New Edition is a little bit before our time, because they are actually older than us, but we were listening to some of the songs like Avant and Jagged Edge and things like that, and we just listened to the stuff, and then the radio bloated out and said, "We're taking this way back, way back." And we heard those songs. And they're like, those are from the 2000s and the 90s. That's not old. So that was a moment that we had. How about this one, the next one up? The next one up is also very, very strange. That moment when you realize you sent the text to the wrong person. Have you ever did that before? See, I told you that I can't come home tonight. And then it goes to your boss instead. I don't know about you, but some of y'all are just looking up like this. And that's not me. And then you try to clean it up and say, oh, no, this, sorry, wrong message. But you got them in your context list. So I've done that before in times past as well. Some of y'all have done it, and that's how you got caught, but I digress. Anyway, let's keep on going. Next one. That moment when you realize you were wrong the whole time. You see that? When I looked at that, I just bust out laughing because you like, okay, you were arguing the person up and down for about an hour, and then you find out that you were wrong, but you know what you will do? You won't even tell them, so I'm sorry. Yeah. You just go around and you just do like this. All right, I know, but no, I'm too proud to tell you I'm sorry. So you just got to manufacture a smile on your face. How about the next one? The next one. It's very funny. That moment you realize you have an unexpected day off. Has that ever happened to you before? I know that before. You come in and, oh, how about this? There was one time that I was so preoccupied with work and things that were going on at home that I actually drove to the office and the whole parking lot was just totally empty. I was like, did they lay everybody off? And I was panicking and sweating. I was like, what happened? And some security guard came around the corner and said, sir, today is a holiday for the company specifically. You can go home. And I was like, well, I wish they would have told me. I would have did something else this day. And so what happens is that I went home because I didn't plan to be at home, and I just sat there like, I don't have nothing to do now. I'm happy, but not really. So that moment when you have an unexpected day off, and then the one that I think is appropriate for this morning, it's very, very good. It is that moment when the preacher calls out exactly what you're going through. Amen. See, I don't look at everything that's going on in your life, but God tells me in one way or another. And so what I try to do is I try to speak to some of the issues that are going on. And so, once again, that's also a reminder to you that we do have Boss Baby on this upcoming Thursday. And so preachers sometimes, they don't exactly try to call anyone out. So don't look at the word call out, because sometimes when you hear that, that may mean that they're trying to put your business out there. You need to understand that, at least as far as myself, I can't speak for anyone else, that I don't be in everybody's inbox. And I don't go to your wall. I may see a picture every now and then, but for the most part, I'm working, or I may be ministering to one or two individuals, but for the most part, I'm in the Word. So if I happen to say something that touches your heart on the Sunday morning, amen, you might as well just say, hey, preacher, I guess this particular message is for me. Amen. So whether positive or negative, we have all had moments just like I did this morning. And this is not the first time that I have ran out of paper or read my iPad as they're dead right before service. So whether positive or negative, we've all had moments that have impacted who we are, how we think, and the way we carry our lives out. Sometimes we learn from others who have had moments of shame and failure. Other times we must experience the consequences of our own insanity or sinful decisions. Yet there are moments, you know, that moment when God steps into your situation and works it all out despite your propensity to get in all types of trouble. Did you get that? There are moments, you know, moments when God steps in your situation and works it all out despite your propensity, I'm repeating it again, to get into all types of trouble. Amen. If you were labeled as the troublemaker, if you were labeled as the one that was acting out, if you were labeled as this particular individual, sometimes it wasn't because somebody was just out to get you. Sometimes you were just bad and hard-headed, you know. But hopefully, as we get older, we'll try to learn from others' mistakes, from our own mistakes, and sometimes just straight up advice. I always like to say that there's two approaches that the people of God or a mentor or a pastor, they would like to share. If they have any type of seasoning, if they have any type of skill in being able to deliver the word of God when they try to advise someone, and that is a brick or a feather. The feather, if you will, and let me reverse that around, the feather is when somebody gives you advice and you could take it or leave it. The person just reaches down in the reservoir of their own experiences, their own situations or circumstances where something has been beneficial to their own life, and then they share it with another individual that is on the brink of possibly making a mistake. So the person gives a piece of advice to that individual and hopes that they will take it. It's not situational advice, it's universal or timeless advice. If you are wise, you'll take it and you'll apply it, and you'll trust that the person who hopefully has a successful life and is demonstrated before your lives, that you will take it and then you'll apply it to your own life. That's the feather. But then you have the brick. The brick is when you hear what the mentor says, you got it, but then you do whatever the hell that you want to do. And then it's like a bumpy ride. You're riding a wild donkey because you got to find out that you are not special. Yeah. And, amen, somebody, you are not special. And you are not going to do something different. If you want to get, you know, as my wife was saying this morning, Pookie and Rayway, they got tattoos all the way around across their face, and you're trying to make him into a gentleman, and all he listens to is to Plies and Bust It Baby and Twister and all this other type of stuff, and he got dope in his mouth and all this other stuff, you are not going to make him into a gentleman, no matter how hard you try. Amen. It's not going to work. Well, you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't. But some books don't have a cover. Amen. So, of all these different types of moments, as we go and dive into the message this morning, the first particular criteria that I want to share with you is giving you a little bit of a retake or a rewind, if you will, of the opening scripture. And if you were to entitle this scripture, you could say that moment when you leave God's presence. That moment when you leave God's presence. You see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, it says, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he, like a dummy, ate it too. Notice nothing happened until the husband co-signed on it. So you could try to wag the finger at her all day long, but the earth and sin did not enter in until the husband signed off on the check saying, you can take all of our money. Hey, all right. Hopefully that went over well. So repeating verse number 6, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, scrumptious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She wanted to be aware. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Then, here it is, at that moment, or that was the moment when their eyes were opened. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. No wonder Jesus in the New Testament saw figs, and which was a type of fruit, and that symbolizes the Christian's walk of life. Either you are bearing fruit or you're barren. And if you're barren, Jesus ain't trying to push more fruit out of you. Sometimes he'll just leave you be. So they were covering themselves with dead things. That's what happens when you have a moment, or that moment when you leave and are not in the presence of God. You see, people of God, Adam and Eve were the first local celebrities. You talk about Kim Kardashian. You talk about Blac Chyna. You talking about Rob Kardashian? I know you're looking at it because you know I glance at it too. So if you talk about all these different types of celebrities, they were the local celebrities of mankind. And the opening verses that I showed to you this morning in the book of Genesis chapter 3 highlight a moment in their lives when things, you know how they say, escalated very quickly. Well, that escalated quickly. You know that moment when they went from being covered by God to being naked and ashamed. Or that moment when God said they had to work the ground like never before. They had to till the ground. God said you're going to have to work. I had everything. You just had one job. You had one job. One job. And you screwed it up. You had one job. I had all the benefits. You had the benefits package. Everything was going to be good. You will be able to have lovely hot relations. And y'all will be able to be fruitful and multiply. Nothing was going to happen. No diseases. No pain. No crying. No tears. No bills. No periods. Okay. I know what I'm talking about. Every woman in here should say amen. That's what Eve did. So you need to talk to Eve when y'all get to heaven and say, what in the world? But then you'll be saved. So you won't be like, what in the world? You'll be like, come here, sister. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. So they went through a lot. They had a lot of moments. They didn't want to hear God saying that they had to have a job, that they can't just sit home all day and look at the moon passing by the night sky. They experienced seeing the enemy for the first time. They experienced hearing God's voice in the cool of the day. They also experienced not only leaving the presence of God, but they had a moment when they had to experience the death of a child. Remember Cain and Abel? That was where their children. So they had to deal with one son that was what you would call the one that was of good reputation, the one that was getting ready to go to college for the first time, the one that was the upstanding one in the family, the one that did everything that mama and daddy told them to do. And then you had the other one, the thug, the one that wanted to do all get out and was full of the flesh, and he got jealous of his brother, and they saw this dynamic going on in that household. They went out into the hillside on the byways, and then they get into an argument, and Cain, out of jealousy and out of envy and out of being upset that God would want his brother's offering over his, he kills his brother. He buries him. The blood cries up from out of the ground. God begins to confront Cain and says, what have you done? Because I have heard innocent blood cry up to my ears in heaven. And Adam and Eve are not saying a word. They're grown now. You're living your own lives now. But that still was a moment. And I'm sure that they heard about it. They heard about Cain having to go out into the wilderness as a vagabond because he has now forever been marked as a sinner. That was a moment when that particular family had it all, and then it was all taken away because they left the presence of God. So if you are going through a tough time right now, the thing that you do not want to do is disappear from the people of God, from the word of God, and from the worship of the saints. Amen. You need to stay connected. It teaches you how to be able to hold on to God and let that be your default program when you're going through tough things in life. Amen. Amen. That was the first moment. The next moment is that moment when God steps in and provides just in the nick of time. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 6 through 11. If y'all help me preach today, we can go ahead and get into the rest of our day. So in verse 6, it says, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them walked on together. They're just going along, and one person has a mission on his mind, and the other one just innocently thinking, I'm just having a nice day with dear old dad. Dear old dad. Ain't nothing going to happen today. We're getting ready to build a campfire. But then in verse 7, He gives the rest of the story. Verse 7 says, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? We have the cookout and there's no meat. What is we going to do? And verse 8 says, God will provide. This is what Abraham replied to. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. That's what he was hoping. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. So you never know. You ever had that particular moment in life when you know something wasn't right, but you just keep on walking anyway? Like, oh, man, we going to a barbecue, but there ain't no meat. That moment when you realize that you are on the menu, but you walk on anyway. That moment when you know that you're getting ready to get fired, so you go ahead and just say, I quit, just to try to save face. So in verse 9, it says, when they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And it was at that moment when the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. And then God, through a messenger of his angel, told him, hold up. Wait a minute, there's a ram in the bush. You see, God just wanted to find out if Abraham was willing to sacrifice the thing that he most loved. Amen. Because God said, I don't want any other gods before me. So if I bless you with a breakthrough, don't let the breakthrough become your God. If I gave you a man, if I gave you a woman, if I gave you a job, if I gave you a church family, don't lift it up so high until you can't see me. Amen. So he says, here I am, Lord. I'm getting ready to go. Stop! There's a ram in the bush. Now, who knows how the ram got there, but one thing that I could tell you if I were to paint a picture is that the ram had to have had large horns coming one out, other out. And that ram had to be something that was of good size. The ram also had to have been a clean ram, because at that moment in time, God would not accept any unclean thing. A ram is what you would call a mature male sheep. Amen, somebody. So most of the time, we like the ladies to sacrifice for the men, but it's actually supposed to be the other way around. Well, where's that in the Bible? Pastor Mod would like to hear it. Here it goes. Your husband, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Therefore, you should submit, or you should be willing to die for it. That's all right. That's why you're in trouble right now. All right, let me keep on going. So you got to sacrifice yourself. Nobody doesn't give a flip about your feelings. You can't be into your feelings all the time. You got to be able to be the anchor in the family. The anchor is the one that sits up under the water and holds it all together. Every now and then you get to the beach and you get to pull up and you get to experience the outside elements. But your duty is to go back down and hold everything down until the storm passes over. Amen. That moment when God sticks his nose in your business and saves you. Just in the nick of time. So going back to the ram, long horns, and then there's a bush. So I believe that God somehow, some way, because he controls and is in control of everything, he called that ram to get stuck in that bush. And sometimes when we're going through certain things in life, there's certain things that work their way into our situation. You miss it. So how would it get stuck? That means that the ram had to work its way into a situation and you don't even know it. You don't think, watch this. Did God say anything at that moment in time? He didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't say not one word at all. But that does not mean that God is not working on your situation. He's trying to work it out. He's trying to work itself and its way into your situation, because all good blessings come from the Lord. And when God blesses you, he adds no sorrow to it. So if you're going through a tough time right now, maybe, just maybe, you did what you wanted to do. And you're getting your just due. But when God gives you a blessing, there's peace with it, even in the midst of the storm. So the ram works itself into the situation. So that's the same way that God provides, just at the nick of the time, in the nick of time. You just have to be ready enough to be able to recognize when he's doing something for you. I don't want to pay this light bill, but somebody just gave me a deposit in my account. Woo, glory. I don't want to have to go through this particular trial, but they just said case dismissed, and they sent me a letter in the mail. I don't want to have to deal with this situation or the circumstances, but this time the child comes to your door and says, you know what, Mama, I'm sorry for the way that I treated you. I'll do better. Just in the mix. Nick of time, just when you're getting ready to throw in the towel, just when you're getting ready to stop and go to another state, just when you're getting ready to quit that church, just when you're getting ready to do something that you have no business doing, God sends you a reminder, or he gets you in the moment of time or your time, right time frame, and he says, that is the moment when you need to slow down. What I am is what I am. Slow. You got to slow down. Slow down. And you have to be available like Abraham. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll take what you give me. Then there's another moment. And this is that moment when God gives you the strength to deal with a serious situation. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 through 6 is a good example of that. This, as we begin to cue up the scripture, is a moment in time when we talk about Samson. You know, Samson with his long hair. I don't know if he had dreadlocks or not, but he had long hair. And he had strength in that particular object because the Holy Spirit was not in individuals at that moment in time in the Old Testament. So God would anoint specific individuals in certain places of their body. Sometimes it would be in their clothes. Sometimes it would be because of another person. Sometimes it would be because of their hair or some type of artifact. And then they would use that as the instrument, like the Ark of the Covenant. So God used Samson's hair. Samson did not know that he had a lot of strength. He didn't know that God touched him and he was going to be the special one, the 6-foot child in the middle of the classroom while everybody else is looking up. This is Samson. So verse 5 says, as Samson and his parents were getting ready to go to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. Look at that. They were getting ready to go to a party, and Samson gets ready to walk down there. His parents are in another area, and then he gets attacked out of the blue. He didn't ask for this particular tragedy to meet him face to face. So in verse 6, it says, at that moment, you get what I'm saying, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands, and he did it as easily as if it were a young goat. But he didn't tell his mama or his daddy about it. You see, when God gives you a boost or some type of anointing, you have to keep how he did it to yourself and just have a testimony about it. If you help me preach this morning, I'll go ahead and go up on my own way. See, Samson's situation was serious. It was serious, no doubt. But Samson was anointed, watch this, for that moment. He was anointed for that moment. He was anointed for that time. He was anointed for that specific event. Sometimes you're anointed to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you're anointed to just cut the food. I know, Charles, I wish I could get some grits right now and just toss it on here, but I'm anointed for this because I know that he gave me a good man. I know that he's just going through a tough time right now, so I'm anointed to hold my peace. So Samson was anointed for this particular moment. He got that He-Man power. He got that transformation. He was adored, endowed by God. And God says, I'm going to give you some power just to be able to take care of the young lion. The young lion represents a satanic, demonic spirit. And sometimes you need to be anointed by God to be able to take care of this specific situation. Because your way is not going to work this time. Your way is not going to work out. Your way is not going to become to fruition. Everybody focus on me. Your way is not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So it's that moment that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he took the jaws of that same particular lion and ripped it in half. You see, Samson's situation was serious, no doubt, but Samson was anointed for that moment. You see, watch this, people of God. His family also benefited because honey was found in that same lion's body. Hold on, that doesn't make sense. Is that sanitary? No, sister, no, brother. I want you to see the truth of this particular statement. Look at this. Look at Judges chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. It says, later when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, this is just a little bit later on, he turned off the path. Look at this. See, watch this. See, when God anoints you, you got to go separate and you got to go a different direction than everybody else. No, I'm not going to follow you. No, I'm not going to get tattoos like everybody else. No, I'm not going to step out on my spouse like everybody else. No, I'm not going to go to another church. No, I'm not going to quit. No, I'm not going to do. I'm going to do exactly what God has told me to do. I want to stand out and I want to be different. So he saw Samson at this moment in time, and he went out and went on his own path to look at the carcass of the lion. If you just look back and saw what the Lord has done, he looked back and saw what the Lord had did right through him. He looked at the carcass of the lion, and he found a swarm of bees. Buzz, buzz, buzz. They were workers. It looks like this worked itself into that situation once again. So he found a swarm of bees and had made some honey in the carcass. Now that don't even sound right. Verse 9 brings it all together. It brings it all together. I'm going to get my blessing this morning. I don't know about you. I don't know what's in your mind. I don't know what type of iron ceiling you have across your head at this moment in time. I don't know if there's too much stuff going on in the sanctuary. I don't know if you're just not like that. But I'm going to give God the glory even through this preaching, whether it's in season or out of season, where you're looking at me in approval, or if you don't like anything I have to say, I'm still going to let God be God. So in verse 9, it says, he scooped out some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it too. See, everybody can feed off the anointing when you get in the right particular position, but you gotta go on your own path. Not your own path, but your own path. In other words, the path that God has set out for you. But he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey from out of the carcass of the lion. Well, what's the point, preacher? What's the reason why you're spitting all over the pulpit? What's the reason why you're jumping down and getting all excited? Well, the point is that there are going to be some moments when you don't know what you can handle until you meet that situation head on. There's some moments that you don't even know what's on the inside of you until that situation starts knocking at your door. You didn't know that you could have peace like that. You didn't know that you could have joy like that. You didn't know that you didn't have to cuss this time and somebody crossed and cut in front of you. You didn't know that you could get a job after you just got fired. You didn't know that you could get another boo because the other one is tripping. You didn't know that. You didn't know that you could stay in the ministry and keep on serving God. You didn't know that until it actually happened. You know what I would call this? I would call this a bittersweet moment. I hope you got it. You see, the lion is on one side, but then the honey's on the inside of it. It looks like he's just going to tear you apart, but it's sweet on the inside. So it's a bittersweet moment. I hope you can get that, because I've had so many bittersweet moments. People that said that they were going to do something, but I'm glad that they didn't, because God was protecting me from that foolishness in the future. So it was bitter because they lied to me, but it was sweet because they didn't have to lie to me anymore. So once again, I call this a bittersweet moment. You know that moment when you could have taken, or it could have taken you out, but God. It could have happened to you, but God. It could have went this way or that way, but God. But wait, there's more. In Judges chapter 14, verse 14, so he said, out of one who eats something, or out of one who eats came something to eat. You missed it. Out of the strong came something sweet. You missed it. You see, right here in this particular verse, this was actually a riddle because he was hanging with the boys. There was rumor that went out all around the countryside of what Samson actually did. They actually saw the carcass of the lion as well, but they weren't able to tie the two together. And so they were wondering, well, if you tell us a particular riddle, then we'll give you this or we'll give you that. And so that's where Judges 14:14 comes into play. This is actually a riddle. See if you can guess what this is. People of God, this is like an Old Testament parable. An Old Testament parable. Can you see the deeper meaning of this word this morning? Now, hopefully it will bless you. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the situation that tried to tear you from the rooter to the tutor was something that you could feed off of. Out of the situation of you losing your job, you found out that you could launch a business. Out of a situation where the person didn't value you, they didn't like you, you found that there was something much better. Out of that situation, you had low self-esteem, but now you have high God esteem, because you wouldn't have spoken it out. You wouldn't have walked by faith and not by sight until that moment happened in your life. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. That's where the honey comes from. Out of something strong. Everybody had some strong situations. It looked like the situations were extremely powerful. It looked like the situations were getting ready to bulldoze you over. It looked like the situations were just going to run you over and run you right out of town. Run you right off of Facebook, where you got to, oh, I think I'm going to deactivate for about a month because I'm going through so much stuff. But God says, I hope you can see something sweet in this situation. This is the moment when God can work things out for your good. He's intentional. He's never failing. All things work together for his good. He's intentional. He's never failing. So it could have taken you out, but God. And so 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. Now hold up a minute. Let me put some bass in it right here. You see, at this moment in time, this particular verse is a riddle. It doesn't make any sense. Well, here's a revelation right here. You see, there are times when people will wonder how you got out of this and how you got out of that situation. How in the world did you get to Castleberry, Florida from Winter Park? How in the world did you go from Maitland Civic Center to Alum Avenue? How in the world did you get married? How in the world did you pay your bills? How in the world did you go through college? How in the world? How in the world? How in the world can I preach in front of people that look like a gator by a lake or a water on a pickle? It's because I'm not serving the people. It's because I'm serving God. That's how you can keep on going despite your faces. That's how you can keep going despite people's sometimes moods. You got to continue to move on regardless. And then people are wondering, how in the world did you get all that, Pastor Martin? How in the world did you get all of that, Lady Martin? How in the world did y'all stay in ministry for 7 years? How in the world did you stay married and you didn't cheat? No, you didn't cheat. Not one time. Not one time. Go ahead. You can try to Google me. You won't find out a normally thing. You won't find nothing. Because it's not because of me, but it's because of the grace of God. So people are still confounded because they know about my past. All my frat brothers, they know about my past and how I was wild. The whoremonger, the person that was just all out there, but God was still doing his work anyway. Some people just won't understand how you held it all together like Spider-Man. I love that movie. Spoiler alert. There was a scene inside of Spider-Man Homecoming to where he had his web on one side of a ship and another web on another side of the ship. Don't worry, nobody's going to use this mic. This is my mic. So they went on that particular side of the ship and on that side of the ship, and he was trying to hold it all together. And so he sent it out and he began to hold it together with everything that he has. Now some people are looking at me like, I don't understand how you could hold it all together. But it wasn't him. It was what was given to him. It had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with me. It had all to do with what God place on the inside of you. So once again, people are not going to be able to figure out how you did it and how you were able to move forward. Folks will be asking, how'd you do it? Well, just give God the glory and move on. If you want to know what the secret sauce is, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. This is something that you got to experience for yourself. Some people are not going to be able to tell. Some people are not going to be able to know. Some people are not going to be able to relate. You're not going to be able to relate with a preacher because you never preached before. You may have read the Bible a couple of times, but you're not going to be able to experience heartache and pain and 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 heartache and pain from this person, that person, this person, that person, this inbox, that one inbox, this inbox. Some people give, some people not give, some people and do it for 7 years. Well, just well, it's not me, because I would have quit a long time ago. I would have been in Washington, D.C. making 6, 7, 8, 9 figures. Bet your bottom dollar that's what I would have been doing. But God had a better plan. But God had a better focus. So if you're not doing anything in your life right now, you better ask God for the moment when you can. Then there's that moment when your worship becomes a lifestyle. See, all my Sunday only folk, I hope you know that the devil doesn't pump the brakes at all, does he? You get bad news at any moment in time. Some of y'all might have got bad news that came across your text message today. No, I ain't gonna do it. No, I ain't gonna do it. So the devil is not gonna pump the brakes. So when are you going to find out and realize that you need fuel and you need to have yourself restored at all, any moment in time? I'm not in it yet, just young man, just hold on a minute. That's not the key of it. You see, worship will become a lifestyle when you really have a true relationship with the Father above. The verses of scripture is something that hopefully will stand out to you. In verse 11, it says, then the priest left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves. In other words, everybody ain't a crooked preacher. For those of you that are watching and still trying to debate whether or not you want to come to Divine Truth Christianism, where God wants your dreams and visions realized, everybody ain't crooked. And I'm not saying that we're the only game in town that's pure. That's false, because even in the Old Testament, God says, I got 7,000 folk that's going to do right. So there are options. Verse 12 says, and the Levites who are musicians. That's what y'all are. If you didn't know that, that's what you are. So that means that you need to live a well. It means you need to lead a good life too. And the Levites who are musicians, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, they look and sound like all urban names, and they're all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes. Don't get no robes, y'all. That's old timey. And stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, yes, lyres, yes, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests. I just saw that I can do something with that, because that's the same amount of people that Jesus was left with at the end of the day. After all those 5,000 folk, before he left this earth, he only had about 120 disciples. But it was just enough to bring the glory into a different realm. So they were joined by 120 priests who were also playing trumpets. It just so happened that your pastor knows how to play a trumpet. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then watch this. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud or the glory of God. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. If you ever want to get out of service early and not hear me preach, everybody from the pulpit to the musicians to the psalmist, even to the person that's back in the snack shack, to the individuals that are sitting inside of the chairs, we all must be on one accord. We must all be together. We must all be worshiping and praising God. So get off of that phone. Look up. Look up. Turn it off during service. Look up. I used to have a graphic on the screen. I didn't even see anything. It's just something that came to my spirit. I didn't look at anybody. When I'm up here, I can't see what's down there below your seat. You might be playing with each other. Look up. That's the key. Look up. Some of you may not even have your phone. Don't judge me. No, no, no. You're in the wrong spirit. What I'm saying is look up. You might be thinking about where you got to go in a couple of hours. No, no, no. Can God do something for you right now? He can, if we're all on one accord. The way that we got to this place is because we were all on one accord. And we're not going to stay in this place. We're going to expand and go to another place if we're all on one accord. I hope you can get that. You see, the Old Testament priests and the Old Testament preachers, they had a Pentecost experience all the time. But it was only when everybody was on one accord. One accord. So that is the moment when worship becomes a lifestyle. And I love this. I love this one. Yeah. I love this one. This is the main thing for me. You see, that was the moment when you should make worship a lifestyle. But then there's that moment when you realize what Jesus really did for your life. See, when you begin to realize what Jesus did for you and your crazy self. And I'm talking about before you came to him because you didn't want him. See, we need to stop thinking that, you know, you're just going to get to God on your own. No, that's not how it works. Because everything that's on the inside of you said, no, I ain't going to do it. No, I don't want God. No, I don't want to change. I want to do things my own way. I got my own way of doing things. I got my own life. It's me and mine's over here. Don't worry. Sunday mornings is just another day to me. Sunday feels just like Saturday to me. I don't want God. And everybody in this building has felt the same way, even if you've been in church all of your life. And you still feel the same. You didn't want to be there with mama. You didn't want to be there with grandma. They made you come and you didn't like any of it. But there's a moment when you realize what Jesus really did for your life. I'm talking about those of us in this place that knows what it was like when we were lost and now we're found. With those of us in this place that know what it was like when we were blind, but now we can truly see. You see, in Matthew chapter 27, one of the most enigmatic scriptures in all of the Bible. This is not an Easter message because this is about the resurrection. I hope you got that there. You see, in verse 45, it says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land up until 3 o'clock. A storm was coming in. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why you have abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Or for this reason, I have come, in the Aramaic. But in verse 47, some of the bystanders said, misstood, and he thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. See, some people still don't get it. Jesus could be there hanging on the cross and he's dying for you and you still don't get it. Maybe he's somebody else. Maybe this is just the food that I ate last night. No, this is God pulling at your soul. This is God telling you to come out from among them. This is God telling you that you got to be different. You can't do the same way, the same things the same way. And then verse 47 says, one of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and held it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. You see, this is such a wonderful verse of scripture because many people just skip over this. But do you know why the Roman soldiers held up a reed to stick to Jesus' mouth? They were trying to make him violate one of the key things out of scripture. You see, that thing that was on that reed stick was bile, or it was called fermented wine. You see, a bishop or an elder can't have strong drink. And Jesus was the chief elder. And so even at the very moment, even God said, I have to stay pure until the very final moments. But that's not the story. The story is that particular mixture was designed so they could deaden the pain. And Jesus said, no, there's too many people in past situations and present situations and in future situations that are going to go through some extremely painful things. And I want the whole world to know that I'm going to experience every hurt, every pain, every sorrow, every torturous moment, not only mentally, but also physically. No, give me all that you got. No. I want to feel the full brunt of the sins of these people that do not even appreciate what I'm doing for them. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're getting ready to do. It was at that moment. He held his lips closed. But then people are mocking in verse 49. They said, but the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. So the people are still trying to look to the past instead of seeing that God is right there before them. Maybe, just maybe, I could go ahead and I could talk to Charles one more time and he'll pay my rent this month. Just one more time. Just one more time. I ain't going to ask him no more after that. I got him wrapped around my finger. He's just for emergency purposes only. Amen, lights, amen, walls, amen, lights. Then Jesus shouted out again. Ah! He gives up the ghost. He releases his spirit voluntarily. No man could kill him. He laid down his life voluntarily for every person in here, whether you're obedient or hard-headed. Yes. He laid down his life for you. Yes. And then in verse 51, it was at that moment the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two. From top to bottom, the earth shook, splitting the rocks apart and the tombs opened. And the bodies, watch this, of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Oh, you missed it. Some people wonder, well, what happened to all the Old Testament saints? What happened to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, when Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom. And that's how all of them were able to escape and to go on to glory. So those spirits were able to open up and be able to be seen all throughout the streets. You missed it. Some of you were left for dead. That is, until you met Jesus. Some of you are all forgotten. That is, until you met Jesus. Some of you were just going to be a single mother until you met Jesus. Some of you thought that you were going to be a single father until you met Jesus. Some of you thought that you were never going to get another job. That is, until you met Jesus. Some of you were going to take the gun and put it in your mouth and click the trigger. That is, until you met Jesus. Some of you were going to check out, give up, go away, run away, quit the church, quit your family. That is, until you met Jesus. But this is where I will close. You see, they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. You see, when Jesus delivers you, you can't just stay in one place. Everybody has to go around and see you and see the glory that's on your life and say, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what has happened to me. I could go to my old neighborhood. I could go to my old family members that scorned me. I could go to those people that forgot all about me. And I could say, look at what the Lord has done without saying a mumbling word. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see what God has done in my life. If you had any type of gumption inside of you, you would get in your feet right now and give God the praise. You would give God the glory. But hopefully I'll be able to take it on home at this moment. You see, this was the moment when you were able to get saved. You see, maybe this will relate to you. Maybe it was that moment when you got the phone call to start a new job. Or maybe it was a moment when God said yes. How about the moment when your life was spared, when you were driving crazy at 3 a.m. in the morning, you had liquor on your breath, weed in your pocket, and maybe a little bit of cocaine lines on the dashboard of the car. But God still preserved you. The police lights were swinging around you, but it was a traffic stop on the right-hand side. God spared you, and you need to appreciate it. Maybe it was that moment when you got a second chance, or maybe a third chance, or maybe a fifth chance. God could have killed you, but he gave you grace and mercy instead. You were talking about people you had no business talking about, but God just winked at it and said, oh, you just silly, you immature. Don't worry, I'm not gonna hold back. Matter of fact, I'm not gonna punish you. I'm gonna give you a greater blessing. I'm gonna give you a promotion and hopes that you understand my love. But wait, there's more. Maybe you understand the moment when life hits you hard, but you get back up again. 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 Though a man, righteous man, falls seven times, he's going to get back up again. Or maybe you still don't get it. Maybe you're still in your feelings. Well, maybe you need a moment when you came out of religion. Maybe you need to come out of religion and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm saved. How about that? Catch me outside. Don't worry. I'm saved. How about that? Catch me out the street. It's going down. Catch me at the church. It's going down. Catch me on my knees. It's going down. Catch me as I worship. It's going down, but maybe you don't understand that either. But how about this? Maybe, just maybe, it was that moment when your faith in God overrides every fear, every obstacle, every enemy, and all of your past. You missed it. Maybe, just maybe, it's when your faith of God overrides every fear. You scared? Stand on God. Every obstacle, maybe you got to reach over that thing like a Marine, hard Marine Corps. Maybe you got to do something different. How about every enemy? All your enemies be scattered? Well, God says he'll set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Remember, haterade is the breakfast of champions. Maybe, just maybe, you need to get past your past. I know that seems like those things got their hooks on you and they keep you from coming to church, but remember, your past is your past. So therefore, if God is not going to bring it up, then why should you? And maybe, just maybe, you will understand that now God wants to push you into the promise. Don't be discouraged. Here's the word. If you don't get anything else, here's the word. God is going to allow for you to see manifestation. Yes. You're going to get those results, but you got to hang around long enough for God to be able to bless you. Manifestation. You see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And some of you are sick and tired of waiting. Sick and tired for the right one to come along. Sick and tired for this court situation keeps on dragging itself out. Sick and tired of this disease. Sick and tired of my health problem. Sick and tired of financial problem. I'm just sick and tired, as my mama would say, of being sick and tired. But remember, God will push you into your promise. You will be able to see the manifestation. You see, I didn't know in 2010 that this was going to be here, but God knew, and as long as God knew, I held on to him. Maybe, just maybe, you will not be able to, it does not appear what we shall be, but when it does appear, we shall be just like him as he is. That moment when you go from watching to praising. That moment when you go from holding the finances inside of your pocket to going and sowing a seed in the good ground. That moment when the vision all comes together. That moment when you not only come to church to get served, but you come to church to serve one another. You're not into, see, I'm looking for a couple of Christian folk, a couple of believers that are not self-centered. They're God-centered. They don't have a consumeristic mentality where they're looking to see what type of clothes, what type of temperature, and lights, camera, action. No. Do you got God? That moment when. Just some chords. I'm done. That moment when you allow for God to do a work in your life. Regardless of what you're going through. That moment when you don't give up. A testimony is no good until you pass the test. How many of you have ever, when you got 100 question tests and you didn't study for it, or you didn't think that you were ready for it, right as you got to number 15, you just said, forget it. I'll see you next semester. I'm going to fail anyway. I'm just talking about me. So some of you just quit midstream. But then hopefully some of you will try to Christmas tree your way through things. Something I'm preaching, but y'all looking at me. This is when you don't know the answer, but you try to come up with some random pattern. You believe that God will move through your hands and you will select the right answers just this once. You fail anyway, but you still tried, and at least you finished. See, sometimes God will bless your trying. He knows that you're not equipped. He knows that you don't have it all together. He knows that you don't have the right voice, don't have the right speech, don't have the right height, don't have the right width, don't have the right depth. But that's why you need him. Without Christ, or with Christ, nothing is impossible. So if things look impossible right now, maybe, just maybe, you just need to remember that moment when Jesus came into your life. Your faith in God should override every fear, every obstacle, every anxiety attack, every moment of overwhelming stress. Allow for God to reach into your situation. So, Father, I ask you and I praise you right now, and I honor you, Lord God. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to touch these, your people. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you encourage each and everyone under the sound of my voice, whether they're here inside of the sanctuary or even watching online. Maybe they will witness this and watch this sometime in the future, many years from now. But Lord God, I pray and I ask that you encourage these, your people. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. You may be going through right now, but that doesn't mean that God is through with you just yet. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and just worship him. Let's extend your hands. Just a few more minutes. Let's have a worship moment. That moment when praise team, even if you don't know the words, come on up anyway. We need you.
Heaven come down, say King Jesus,
Jesus,
you're the name,
for the name we're lifting high, Lord, glory, shaking up the earth and sky, revival, we want to see our kingdom here, we want to see our
King Jesus.
You're the name we live.
Morning, church. Morning. I'm actually kind of nervous. I haven't done this in a long time. So I wanted to share something based off of what Pastor Martin was talking about today. That's something that I went through in my life. So when I was in my last year of high school, when everyone is supposed to have a good time, you go to prom, you have fun, I was homeless. And it was the hardest thing that I probably have, well, maybe not that I've ever been through, but one of the hardest things that I've ever been through. And I remember when I was younger, probably like about 8 or 9, I was tempted to steal. And I remember in that moment, I made a covenant with God, and God said, don't do it. Just don't do it, my daughter. Don't do it. And he said, one day I will provide for you. Yes. And it was so dark because you had this expectation. You're my father. You're supposed to love me. You're supposed to care for me. And I'm in this situation that was out of my control. And I was applying. I was working hard. I was studying hard, applying for all these colleges. And I got a response from this college that said, you won't be admitted. And then I remember in that moment, I just broke because I had nothing left. And my mother came in and she was like, I cried like someone died, you know, because it was my dream. It was all that I was, I put into this. And it was like, there was nothing left for me. And she said, don't go based off of what you're seeing right now. Don't go based off of what they're saying. I promise you, we stand in prayer right now that you're going to get a different response. Yes. Which is radical, because have you ever heard of a school sending you a different response? Wow. But 2 days later, a $60,000 year school sent me a message, you're accepted. Here's all this money. You can go for free. Amen. And I broke. I'm homeless at this point, staying on different people's houses and couches, trying to figure out what I'm gonna do next. And I mean, God came through. Sometimes he just asks that you step out, decide, declare what your truth is going to be. Decide, declare that you will stand on his word no matter what you see, no matter what they say. So now I have these dreams that are above and beyond what, like, is the 3% or the 1%. Like, no one does that. But I have to believe that the same God that created a bittersweet moment for Samson, the same God that was able to give that ram to Abraham, that same God is the same God that goes before me, that goes before you, and that will create everything that is necessary for you to fulfill your purpose. Like, that is the God we serve. That is our Father. And he loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you enough to die on the cross and just say, I don't need anything to numb the pain. I will die for you. So I just wanted to share that, because I think sometimes when we're in situations, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, whether it be just internal, when we're battling with, should I really submit to God's will in this area? Should I really submit to God in my life, in my finances, in my relationships? And you know, he's saying, walk away from him. He's saying, walk away from her. He's saying, there is more that I require of you. He's saying, there's more that I want to give to you. Just let me love you. Let me love you. I will give you the grace to be positioned. I will give you the grace to be in the right place at the right time. I will give you the grace to submit. I will give you the grace to walk away and say no. But just having a heart that is willing, that is contrite, that is submitted to say, I will say yes. I want to say yes. So when you're tempted, you create a space where you find avenues to avoid it, and know that he will meet you more than halfway. And once you do that, like he gives you honey in the stomach of a lion. And believe that, because that's the God that loves you. Thank you.
Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Well, class dismissed. Why don't you get out of your seat and hug somebody and tell them happy Sunday. Be encouraged. It's a bittersweet moment, but God is doing it for a reason. Yeah.